Okay, so we're in chapter. Today is March 31st, 2017. Towards the beginning of Nisan, and we are in Perek Chafei. It's Rishonim Day, Meforshim Day. So we're going to start from Pasuk Chaf Gimel. So Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, chapter 25, verse 23. So we talk about the Shulchan. Asisa Shulchan Asei Shitim. Amasayim Rekovim Rekovim Avachitzi Komasa. So you're going to make the Shulchan out of Shitim wood. It's going to be two Amos long, and an Amma wide, and an Amma and a half high. That's actually the table itself. So why are we going ahead and making this Shulchan? So the Sforno here makes a comment. Yes, the Sforno makes a comment. You're going to make this Shulchan. Achar Maisa Aron Shehaya Kedmus Kisa Kisei Lishchina. That the after we learn about making the Aron is the throne for the Shechina. It is the throne for the Divine Presence. Ka'amar v'nodati l'chasham. I will make myself known there. So we command the Shulchan. What is the Shulchan of Menorah? K'minhagim l'fnei hasarim. Like the like in front of the officers. Ke'inyan ha'shunamis ba'amra Vinasimlo Sham Mita Vishulchan Mikisi Menorah. Similarly to when it says by the Isha Hashunamis, by the woman in the Melachim who Elisha stayed by, that he had in the room a bed and a table and a chair. A bed, a table, and chair, and a menorah. So that's what's going on here also. You have the bed, so to speak, which is the Aron, you have the Shulchan, which is the table that we're talking about now, and the menorah, which we'll get to in a few psukim later. So this Shulchan teaches is like the crown of the king, as it says we have the Zir Zahav, like the spikes that go around the outside. And the way to understand it is the king ban hagas hamedina. In the ways of the Medina, the ways of the country, who I'll be found in two ways. So one of them is in terms of the judgment of Zulasa. The second one is to protect the Medina from all the enemies. So Vishaftani Malchus Vyatzal the Fenu Vinilcham Es Milcham Osenu, who Shamu Bishulchan Bez Kasar. So we place on the Shulchan these two crowns. One is the protection of the people. And the second one is the sustenance of the people. One of them is the table itself. So that's what we're learning out from the Shulchan. So there's two things that the Shulchan is used for, or the two things that they represent. One is the continued sustenance of the people, and second is the continued protection of the people. And both of those really work together, right? The sustenance and the protection of the people. Fine. So that is the Sfar number one in terms of the role that the Shulchan plays within the Mishkan. So comes the Ramban, and the Ramban talks about the Zer Zahav, the golden triangles that go around the outside of the table, right? So what does he say there? So Simon Lekeser Malchus, that's what Rashi says, that's a symbol of the crown of the king. The Chena Davar says that Sod HaShulchan Ki Birchas Hashem Eiseyos HaOlam Lo Nivra Yesh Mi'ayin Aval Olam Kimin Hago Nahli. And part of this is that the world doesn't come Yesh Mi'ayin, nothing is created, well, I shouldn't say absolutely nothing, but nothing is created nothing is created from something from nothing. There always was a something. About Olam Kimin Hago Nahli, things continue on, as the pasuk says, "Vayara Lekinas Kol Asher Asav Yinito Maod." That from there is going to emanate all the other things that's going to be in the world. Right, but when there is a bracha already placed, from there bracha can emanate from. Similarly to the story of Elisha, Elisha was told to pour a little bit of oil, and then from that vial of oil came much, 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 much more oil. So too is this idea, that we have these breads, showbreads in the middle of the Mishkan, and from there will come the bracha of much, 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 much more bread. Right? V'chein ha'shulchan melacha apanin, bo tachol ha'bracha, the bracha emanates from there. U'mimena yavo hasova l'chol Yisrael, and from there will come a satisfaction amount to all of Yisrael. Actually, that's what the Gemara says. Well, kach amru kol kohen shemagiyu kafel, that any kohen that had the amount of a bean, that was able to eat a small amount of this lechem apanim, ochel v'saba, would eat it and would be satisfied. So that is the that's the story with the with this Ramban type. Okay, as we continue on, that's the Sforno, that's the Ramban. anything more about the Shulchan? Oh, actually, in my Mikros Gedolos, it actually describes the mitzvah of how this worked. So I'll just read a little bit of that. What was the mitzvah? There is a pasuk. If you look at pasuk lam, it says "Benasata al shulchan lechem panim lefanei tavid." You go to place onto the shulchan this lechem hapanim, this lechem of many faces. Actually, before we get to that, why do we call it lechem hapanim? So that the Ramban refers to as well. Sheyesh lo panim. Rashi said that there's faces that face each side because there's sides to the lechem hapanim, so they face the sides. There's a face to the sides. The lashon hamish. That's what Rashi says. About kolze yel the divrei haomer kitzad osu the sukkim tevas prutza. So the Ramban points out that there's actually a machlokus. There's a dispute in the Gemara as to what the lechem hapanim looked like. Were they squares or were they canoe shaped? Were they kind of shaped, right? Kitzad osu the sukkim tevas prutza, like an open. Teva, like crate. Aval divrei omer kimin svinas rukada. Some say it was like a rocking boat. It was like a boat that was like a canoe. Okay, that's not correct. Rabbi Yehuda omer shenikra lechem hapanim bavur lefanai tamin. So according to that opinion, that it didn't actually have straight faces, a straight end to the challah, but rather was pointed at the end. So what does it mean, lechem hapanim? Shel lefanai tamin, that they are constantly in front of me. That's the other understanding of lechem hapanim. I actually saw one more side here, but I can't find where it is here. Let's see where it is on the page. That's the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Lefi pshuto lechem haroi lefanai lefnei sarim. That the simplest understanding is that it's lechem that is fit to be in front of officers, nice bread. Because it will be panav elokim, will be from the front of God. I mean, just nice bread that will be in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's three pshatim, three explanations as to why it's called the lechem hapanim. By the way, these demonstrate itself in the different form of the classical ways of making challah. So I guess the classic challah is is usually with a point at the end, right? That it's braided, there's a small end, and then it gets wider and then it gets smaller. So that's one form of the lechem hapanim. But you also find that there's challah that's made in the pans, right? It's made in the pans and the top comes out, so that's perhaps the other type of lechem hapanim. And there actually is a specific reason that we use circle challahs on Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and Torah, and that's alluding me right now. But those two forms of challah, either that it's a canoe or that it's a square bottom, so that is that's part of the idea that it's lezecher, it's a remembrance for the lechem hapanim. Okay. So we move on in Pasuk Lamed Aleph to the idea of making the menorah. So the menorah, why are we making the menorah? So the Sforno makes a comment here as well. Achar sadur shnei haksarim, after we've established two crowns, v'heim keser Torah ba'aron v'keser malchus b'shulchan, right, they are that there is a crown by the shulchan and there is a crown by the aron. Seder inyan menorah kula miksha acha. So we make we arrange the menorah, which kind of combines it to one. What does that mean? V'ornei roset echad, and it's one light. Now it's not one light; it's seven lights. But v'ha'ir al aver panefa, that you're going to light up those that come across. So how does that work? Or neirus hayimid, neirus hasmal, that there's candles on the light and on the right, and candles on the left. Michavin al inside, they all point towards the middle. V'chein roi shiya inyan ha'or hasichli b'chelek hayuni, and so too should be the idea with the light of wisdom and in the portion of looking things up. V'gam kein oro b'chelek hamasi, and so too there is. There's a portion in terms of things that you actually do. Okay, so that's what the menorah comes to represent. The menorah is the unification between the Aron on one side and the Shulchan on the other side. The Aron being the divine presence, this pure spirituality, and the while the Shulchan represents the things that are necessary to live, both the issues of the physical manifestations of things in this world. So that is the Sfornos Vort on the Shulchan. So the continue on a little bit, just one ha'ara that's made. We mentioned the other day that the menorah over the years took on different shapes. So how do we see that in the psukim? The psukim seem to give a specific command that it has to be gold. It has to be made this way. So comes the Or HaChaim. I noticed this in the Or HaChaim. I was wondering, I couldn't find it anywhere. There comes the Or HaChaim and says that the pasuk tells us, "Asisa menorah sa'atahor miksha te'aseh ha'menorah." Right? Miksha, in this way, in this... the menorah will be made. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Will be made. It should be you will make. So why is it? What is the term teyaseha? So the Or HaChaim says tzarich ladas. You should know. Lama tzarich lomer teyaseha menorah. Why does it say that the menorah will be made? Uvebenachos perik akomets rava. So the Gemara in Maseches Menachos explains darshu teyaseh lerabos sharamatechos. It shall be made to include other types of metals. That's why it says it shall be made and not you shall make. And Moshe, it wasn't necessary to say this. During the time of Moshe, they had plenty of gold. It was okay. They made it of gold. They didn't have to make another one in the Midbar. But when it came time that they had to make another menorah, so sometimes they could afford gold, and sometimes they couldn't afford gold. So this is telling you, at least, that you could at least make it of other metals. I believe there is a Manda Amr that besides being made out of other metals, it's also made out of, can even be made out of wood. I believe for a period it was made out of wood.
I think when it talks about the menorah for Hanukkah, I remember somebody can make them out of anything but wood. Wood is not.
You mean for a menorah on Hanukkah?
Hanukkah.
Yeah, because you'll burn your house down.
Probably.
I don't think there's any sincere reason. A lot of the kids come home with wooden menorahs. That's correct. Also, that it's not. It actually is not permitted to be like a menorah. You're not allowed to copy the kelim and base of Mikdash.
Well,
it's six. Yeah, in the base of Mikdash, there were seven, right? So, yeah. So, to on the Hanukkah also.
No,
the menorah has six plus the one in the middle. Right?
Eight plus one in the middle.
Right, so
they're not really
Hanukkah.
They're the same name, but they're
different. Right. One's called the menorah, one's called the Hanukkah, but we refer to it as the menorah. I see. I actually forgot to go back and do that. The mitzvah of Lachem. But maybe we'll just save that for a little bit. But we'll see if we have time. Oh my!
Oh, Dev!
My last day in America. I'm here in Canada. I'll be eating Monday. We'll be eating Monday morning in Canada.
You going to Edmonton?
Yeah.
Oh, great! I actually talked to Rabbi Friedman yesterday.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, we're on recording. We'll talk after. All right.
Yeah.
So just continue on a little bit more. Just to cover one more issue, at least, with regards to the menorah. What service? So the Ramban says as follows. Talks about the gold. And if you recall, when we read Rashi the other day, so Rashi explains this pasuk lamed tes, verse 39. Kikar zahav taor yaseh, going to make it out of a kikar of gold. Ace kol hakelim ha'elu, all of these kelim. What does it mean, all of these kelim? So Rashi explained, that the weight will of all of the kelim combined will equal a kikar. Shumash kelim in kol kela el kikar lo pachos v'lo yoser v'kikar shel chol shishim mana. That's good. It's about 60 mana, and it figures out what that is. But it gives you the total weight of the menorah and all the things you're going to need for the menorah. Because in order to use the menorah, you're also going to need tweezers. You're also going to need bulbs. You're going to need some. I think a few things I mentioned. Makuchel machtoseha zahav. You have to need these. things in order to clean out the menorah on a regular basis. So the weight of all of it combined will be X. So the Rabban says, that's the way Rashi understood it. So Rashi says, I'm really bothered by this. We don't know how much the menorah is supposed to weigh. Maybe they're really big tweezers, and not such a big menorah, or maybe a really big menorah, not very big tweezers. How are we going to be able to figure it out? And why would the Torah do it this way? Why would the Torah make this vague statement of, oh, all of them will add up to this amount? Who cares? So the Ramban says, the truth is that the Gemara doesn't seem to like Rashi's shot either. Rashi seems to be going against the Gemara. Now, that's not necessarily a problem. Rashi is passing like the Rashi on Chumash is trying to give shot in the Pesukim, a simple explanation of the Pesukim, while the Gemara, but which might not be used, lahalacha, might not use in terms of the Rashi is not giving halachic opinions when he's giving you a pshat on the chumash. But anyways, the Ramban continues on and says, "Val in das rav musay nekosh amar rav." That the opinion, the das of our rebbeim, it's not like he taught. It's not like that in the Gemara. El kachshan lacham in Menachos is what they taught in Menachos. Menorah v'nei roseha ba mikikar v'lo milachcheha umachtoseha. That the menorah and its bulbs will come from gold and not the other tools. Umani mekaynes kol keilma eli ha'ela l'rabos es haneiros. So rather, what's this pasuk coming to tell you? It's not coming to include the tools used by the menorah, but rather coming to include the bulbs of the menorah itself. Now, why that's considered a separate kli, I'm not sure, but that's what he's going to tell you, that all the menorah plus the bulb is going to come out to this amount.
Hold the oil? Or the bulbs are the things?
Yeah, to hold the oil, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that's actually only one opinion of the Gemara. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, no. Menorah ba mikikar, v'lo neir samakachal machtuzeh. No, it's only the menorah that came from gold. The other thing's not. Umani, mekayim, and how do I fulfill, where do I get the bulbs from? So you probably pick them up at, you know, at a farm store. You know, they come in packets of seven. You crack off the top. That's probably what you do.
About how they should be kindled?
Yeah, but not here. The kindling, the mitzvah of kindling them is mentioned actually in a few places. One of them is the beginning of Baal Isa, which we read in Menorah. I believe it might be in Sav. Well, I believe it is mentioned in other, but this is just talking about the structure. So the Ramban continues on. This is Kol Kehilah Eishai Yukulan Shel Zav. The Ramban, or is just coming to tell you that all of these things need to be gold. Not necessarily telling you a weight of gold, but rather the reason why the Pesukim are written in a somewhat vague way is to point out that, yes, this is a kikar of gold, but the other kelim that are used, they have to be made of gold as well. And the Ramban says that's probably the simplest pshat as well. Okay.
Oil. Do you still use the one to light the others?
Yes. You use a candle usually to light the others, but that you take from the shamish to light the others. And that's—I don't believe that's the din in the Beis Hamikdash. It starts from the right. I think the right one was lit first, and you lit straight across. The also were all at an equal height in the Mishkan.
Right, but is there a shamish?
What?
Is there a shamish?
I don't believe so. They're all
they,
equal.
They use they when they lit the Beis Hamikdash, they didn't use any other thing to light, did they? Or they?
Torch.
That's a separate thing they just lit with, right?
Yeah.
They didn't, not like.
Right, well, where did they get the fire from? I don't know if there's a source for the fire. Are they allowed to. Did they just use a match? I don't know. We have to wait for further learning on this. It's not in this text.
Yeah. So, okay, so you have. I'm looking at. Do you have at the middle where you have, like, the vertical thing, then you have the things coming out, and then you have, like, the buds, like a decorative scene with the whole. They don't seem to have any function. It's just some sort of decorative function.
That's not a function?
Well, I mean, function to hold it. Yes, okay. When I look at it, okay, with my perspective, engineering-wise, you have the thing that holds the cup, and you have to have the cups to hold the oil.
Yeah.
And you could even call the cups in there.
Yeah.
Because, and now, when we say candle, the candle is self-supporting, but in those days, oil was not self-supporting. If you didn't have a cup, you wouldn't have it there, right?
I think so, even nowadays, if you don't have a cup, the oil won't stay there.
We could use that candle, which is self-supporting. Uh-huh. You don't need something to hold it, right?
I don't think you could use a candle in the Beis Hamikdash, though.
No, I meant to say, when we say candle, Okay, so what?
All right. Let's go. So, I'll just do one more thing here, and that is the mitzvah of the Lechem HaPanim, which is quoted here on the page here. That's the rule. It's got to be on the page of the Mikros Gedolos. So he quotes here from the Rambam. Now, mitzvahs So mitzvahs asay l'sadir lechem apanim b'chol yom Shabbos al shochel lefnei Hashem beheichal shemar yom Hashas yechu hakohen. That the lechem apanim was set up on Shabbos. It was an avoda that was done on Shabbos itself. V'davar bara b'tar shu shteim esrei chalos. There are 12 chalos. Kol chalos shnei esronim. And each chal had 2 esronim. Right? This isn't mentioned in this section. We have to find the section where it is mentioned. V'orchem oso shnei sedarim. And there were 2... And there are 2 orders, sheish chalos b'chol seder, two piles, 6 chalos on each pile, chala gavi chala, chala on top of every chala. And as we learned, but between each chala there were these 3 rods that were holding one chala above the other, so that they don't become moldy. It continues on. It says ve'in mechanchen es hash. They would also put on the zach shem, the little bit of shem and frankincense. They would put on the shulchan as well. And the only way they would do it, they were mechanichet. Now chinuch, what does the word chinuch mean? By the way, teaching. So it's not exactly teaching; it's really preparing. It's really anointing. When we use the kelim, how does you make this golden table? How does it then become a vessel in the Beis Hamikdash? So there's a process called chinuch. It has to be kind of appointed or prepared for the Beis Hamikdash. How do you do that? So it's interesting. You do that by just doing avodah on it. The first time you do avodah, that's being mechanichet. So the chinuch of the shulchan was when on Shabbos they put chalos on for the first time. But there's no malach involved in it. I guess the chalos must have been made before Shabbos. I'm not sure about that. And for every week on Shabbos, they would do it, and they would distribute the bread to the 2 mishmaros that were there. I mean, there was the Shabbos was the day of the switching of the mishmaros of the groups of Kohanim. So the previous week's groups and the next week's groups. So each group would get a piece of the challah. So Ketzad Misadrin, and it describes how they would actually do it, and they would do it in a special way such that they would fulfill a verse in the phrase Lefanai Tamid. It says in the pasuk, it has to be in front of me constantly. So how did they ensure that it would be constant? They ensured that it would be constant by lining up each Kohanim. Right, each Kohanim was in charge of the bread, and they would immediately bring it on very slowly, one side shifting off the previous week, while at the exact same time bringing on the current week. And that is actually used as a raya about Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah should never lo yamusha Torah zeh mipicha, that you should never lose Torah from your mouth, that it should be constant, and that there should, just as the lechem apanim are constantly on the shulchan, so too Torah should be constantly on our lips. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Have a good Shabbos.
The word chinuch, is that the same root as chanukah? I mean, Chanukah means like to
dedicate the temple.
Dedicate it. It brings. It's like the beginning of something, and the chinuch is you bringing a new idea to something. Is that the same root? I don't know. I don't know the Hebrew. So. Does Chanukah and chinuch have the same root, basically?
Okay, still more requests on the Chesed Fund. Okay, still some dripping in.
Just going to be, I get to it.